Think of a device that tracks your movements, records your voice, monitors who you contact, even captures video. I am not talking about the smartphone in your pocket. I'm talking about your car. So-called connected vehicles are becoming more common on our roads, and they're constantly sending data back to manufacturers. We're told that information helps keep us safe, sharing your location after a crash, monitoring driver alertness, improving vehicle performance, but that's only part of the story. The amount of data being collected is staggering. And finding out exactly what's being gathered and who can access it and how it's being used is often incredibly difficult. Last year, the eSafety Commissioner issued a warning after victim survivors of domestic violence revealed they were being tracked through data generated by their own cars. And you've probably also heard the story of Tesla allegedly sharing sensitive images recorded by customers' cars. Catherine Kemp is Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at UNSW Sydney and leads the UNSW Public Interest Law and Tech Initiative. Catherine, welcome to Life Matters.
Good to be with you, Tegan.
So what kind of data are our cars collecting on us?
Just to be clear here about these connected cars and why we should be so concerned about this, they now come with embedded internet connectivity. That's a modem and a SIM, so they're able to constantly send this data out. And in terms of the sensors that they have in the car and the data they're collecting, they have cameras, microphones, they can collect your driving behavior, so things like the speed you're doing, how abruptly you accelerate, how abruptly you brake and take corners. And also, very often, actually in all cases, your location data. And location data can sound boring, but it reveals so much. If you look at the map of your daily activities, companies can see where you live, where you work and who you work for, where your kids go to daycare or school, whether you're visiting medical specialists like a psychiatrist or a family planning clinic or a cosmetic procedures clinic. So this can be very sensitive data once you look at those inferences.
I mentioned domestic violence as an issue just before, and that seems pretty clear that location tracking could be a risk there. When you're talking about the other place, the other people who might be interested in where someone's going or the pattern of where someone's traveling, who are you concerned about?
So there's a lot of potential recipients, and who receives this data from your car is not entirely clear from the privacy terms. We know it definitely goes back to the car manufacturers and in Australia to the national sales companies, to dealerships. The privacy terms also mention these broad categories like advertising companies, because this data is used to target us with ads, also law enforcement and broad purposes of insurance or disclosure to insurers. So that doesn't give consumers a very clear picture of what's happening. But we've seen cases in America where it was discovered that a car manufacturer was providing that information from connected cars to insurance companies. And people were wondering, you know, why is my insurance premium suddenly doubled? Why is this insurer refusing to insure me now? And it was because of driving behavior data from their car, which can then lead to inaccurate inferences about how safe a driver you are and what you pay for insurance or whether you get insurance at all.
So like if I take corners too quickly, my insurance premium could go up.
Yeah, so we don't know from the privacy terms in Australia exactly what's happening, but this is one of the concerns we have from the breadth of those privacy terms.
Not every car has this functionality, but a lot more will in the coming years. Do you think people realise?
I don't think so. I think it's highly unlikely that many consumers are aware of the full extent of this. And I say that partly because so many people whose work actually relates to the automotive industry, like fleet management or automobile association sort of representatives, have been shocked to hear what's in the privacy policies and what is the full extent of what these cars collect and how the information can be used. But it's also because the privacy terms can be really difficult to find and understand for consumers.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start looking for my car's privacy policy. It's not something I don't think I've ever thought about looking for before.
No, it can be distributed across multiple documents that you need to search for through terms and conditions, the contract of sale, through the user manual, privacy policies, sometimes running to thousands or even tens of thousands of words across those. And then sometimes you have to dig into the app itself, the connected car app, to read this on your little screen. In one case, we found that a company had listed the most relevant collections of personal information, not in its privacy policy, but under the heading warranties in its terms and conditions. So we've certainly got a lot more clarity that's required from the companies themselves.
What does the law say about the collection of this data?
So we've got some relevant laws, particularly our federal privacy laws and some criminal laws. So as far as the federal privacy laws go, this includes our Australian privacy principles that would apply to each of the businesses involved, likely even the overseas manufacturers, the national sales companies, the dealerships. And that imposes obligations about what you should be notified of in data collection notices, the privacy policy, as well as, you know, questions about whether that collection is by fair and lawful means, for instance. That said, we need a lot of updating and improving of our privacy laws. We've also got some relevant criminal laws, including our surveillance devices legislation in each state and territory, and that can come into play where the car, say, has microphones or cameras or location tracking devices, although those laws, again, aren't very well adapted in all cases to these kinds of concerns.
You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Catherine Kemp, Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of Sydney, talking about connected cars, what it means for your privacy. I'd like to know whether you've thought about what information is being collected by your car. One person says, someday, in the not too distant future, a 1997 Camry will be a highly desirable classic. Another says, my cars have had no computers, a 44-year-old Honda and a 34-year-old Honda. They certainly don't collect information about me. The fewer functions a car has, the less there is that can go wrong and the less expensive it is to fix. And a question from Alison, Catherine, can you opt out? Can you disable the monitoring of things like location data?
Whether you can opt out is tricky. So as I said, these cars come with an embedded SIM and modem, and you're not going to have direct access to that. You can't just remove it from the car. There was quite a notorious dispute between Toyota and a consumer a couple of years ago where the guy said, I don't want this tracking of my data. And the dealer told him, well, that would void the warranty on your car and no, you can't have the deposit back. Now, Toyota backed down from that and said that's not their position, and we now have a couple of companies that specifically mention on their website or in their terms that you can ask, say, for a dealer or a service center to turn off the data collection. Anecdotally, I've had consumers tell me that if you call a dealer and ask about switching it off, they have no idea what you're talking about. So it's sort of something you've got to investigate yourself with the car you're planning to buy or the car that you have.
When you like first hear of these safety features, it can sound really good. Like there was overseas in the USA, there's a push for new cars to have biometric readers to address drink driving, the sorts of things you were saying before. You kind of go, well, it should make people safer drivers. It should make me safer in my car. Why? What are the risks of things like biometric readers to address drink driving?
So we've found that there can be big problems with the effectiveness and accuracy of those kinds of measures. You can get very significant numbers of false positives, false alerts. At the basic level, you know, many consumers will have already experienced those cars that start beeping to give you a distraction warning when you're doing shoulder checks, which you are supposed to do. But once you get an AI to start analyzing people's faces for attention, distraction, intoxication, you're necessarily depending on the data that's used to train that AI. And so depending on the data used in training and fine-tuning the model, you can get false alerts that haven't actually picked up drunkenness or distraction or tiredness, but really just that someone might be from a different racial or ethnic background, or they're not neurotypical, so their face presents differently, or their facial features present just physically differently to your average facial features. So those false positives can be very significant and have big consequences for the people impacted.
So back here in Australia in February, the Privacy Commissioner revealed there was two open investigations against car manufacturers over potential breaches. What would they be looking for?
We know that the Federal Privacy Commissioner mentioned last year that she's particularly concerned about the location data that's being collected by connected cars. Given how revealing that information can be for the reasons I mentioned earlier about what it reveals about you and your habits and your attributes, that sensitivity is really concerning to our Federal Privacy Commissioner. We also know that, you know, there might be concerns about the extent to which these companies are giving proper notice to consumers about what's happening with their data, how much is being collected, and even whether they might be excessively collecting information that's not required, bearing in mind that recently our Federal Privacy Commissioner found in the context of rental technology platforms that they were collecting way more information than they needed. So those are the kinds of things that we might expect to see investigated in the case of these car companies.
So your perspective is the law. With more cars coming with this built-in connected capability, what is the next step for Australia?
We do need to take another look at our privacy law. We had a long Privacy Act review over the years, and we've had some amendments, but there's more amendments required. In this case, we've got an outdated definition of personal information, and that matters because our Australian privacy principles only apply to personal information. So we don't want these businesses saying, oh no, we've got no privacy obligations because this is just vehicle data. It's about the car, not you. While meanwhile, they may be using it to make all kinds of inferences about the person who's driving the car. We also have those surveillance devices laws about, you know, microphones, cameras, tracking devices. And some of those don't recognize that you can be stalking or tracking someone with an embedded camera or tracking device without having to physically interfere with a car in this way. And that kind of recognition of how the technology has changed means we'll need some changes in the law. And that's just at the individual level before we start to get to any national security issues that result from foreign companies and governments potentially accessing information collected by our cars.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining me today. Catherine Kemp is an Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.